Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, we are going to be learning together Torah Chaf Zayin, Lashon Rabbeinu Zochron of the Bracha. We mentioned last time, based on one of the Mefarshim, that Torah Chaf Vav and Chaf Zayin are meant to be learned together. They're both addressing the same passage that was part of the discussion between the Sabe de Be'atuna, the Athenian scholars, and Rabbi Shua ben Hanania. As far as the historical context, it seems it's not clear exactly when this Torah was given, but possibly in Tafkuf Samach Gimel around 1802 or 3, when Rav Aaron had become the Rav in the town of Breslov, who was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and had a very pleasant voice. Tavis Zacharias brings that. And as part of the themes, we'll be talking about Shalom, MS, Torah study and refinement of the voice. Even as we look at the first paragraph, we're struck in terms of the presentation that the Torah seems to be dealing with nothing less than basically a redemption of the entire world and what it means in terms of truly unifying ourselves, those around us, the entire world in the service of Hashem. I'm going to first read through the first paragraph, which is not that long, and then I just want to highlight, I mean, any one of these concepts could be an entire shiur, but I want to highlight some of the ideas that should pop out at us and try to at least center our focus on what I think will help us appreciate where the Torah is going. So beginning with the Torah, Ritzita de Mayis Bebeyeso, there's a Ritzita, a chick that dies in its shell. Hecha nafik rucha, where does the ruach exit from? Amar lehu Rabbi Shua ben Hanania responded, behind the all, through where it was all, through where it entered, and the last Torah focused on this part of the language. Starting paragraph Aleph, Ki limshaych es kol ha'olam la'avodaso la'avdo shchem echad, in order to draw the entire world, not just ourselves, to the avoda of Hashem, in order that we should serve Hashem in unison, v'kulam yashlichu elilei kaspam uzahavam, and all of them should throw off all of their gods of gold and silver, v'yispalulu al Hashem yizbarach levad, and daven, create that relationship with Hashem, and only Hashem, Zahadavar Naseh B'chol Dar V'dar, this thing that we're discussing is done not just once and then we've achieved success, but it actually is done in every generation, Lefi HaShalom Shevedar, in accordance with the Shalom, with the peace in each generation. Ki Al Yidei HaShalom, through Shalom, Sheyesh Bein B'nei Adam, that exists among people, and they investigate and explain to one another the truth. Each person will throw away the sheker of those gods of silver, and bring themselves closer to the MS. Now, this was actually an incredibly dense paragraph that touched on a tremendous amount of principles, yesodos, foundations. As we try to focus on what the main thrust of this particular Torah is, I do want to highlight a few things that are worthy, certainly of further hazbainus, but also that I don't want to take for granted as we go through the Torah. First of all, the universal mission of the individual. We are saying, Ki limshach es kol ha'olam la'avodaso. Why not just start with myself? And even if practically speaking, I do have to engage in my own avoda first, where do I come that the Torah is addressing me as drawing the entire universe towards the avoda of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And in order to understand this, I think we have to just put a pin in a few ideas. Number one, Bishvili Nivra Olam. As I encounter the world, the universe of my experiences builds into what my task is. Now, this is a tremendous chiddush on one hand, and on the other hand, it's something that we are used to thinking about. For instance, if a person can reach his actualization as being a teacher or a doctor, for that matter, nobody would say that the person who's, let's say, a doctor should sit in a room and just study all of the medical books and never actually apply them. He will reach his godless by helping other people. The teacher will reach his or her godless by teaching others and bringing them up. So the idea that a person's actualization and avoda is actually interrelated with other people around them is not something that's foreign to us. I think potentially what might be a bigger chiddush is how we address in earlier Torahs that our own growth, even when it does seem to be personal, will affect the world. We can use at least two concepts in order to help us with this. Number one, Kol Yisrael Areivim Zeh Bezeh. Every Jew is a guarantor for other Jews. This concept actually applies to halachas that we might be familiar with. For instance, one person that already made kiddush can actually go and make a bracha, make kiddush again for another Jew who is chayv in kiddush. Why? Because we are a raven one another. We are guarantors one another, meaning that part of my actual responsibility is tied in to yours. There is something lacking in Kiddush as it applies to me if there is another Jew anywhere in the world who has not yet heard Kiddush. And therefore, part of my avoda as an individual and in my role as a guarantor is to be responsible for my fellow Jews. Second of all, which takes this concept even further as far as being responsible for the entire world, is that every yid, every neshama, is actually, in certain ways, a microcosm of the tzura of the entire world, right? We say there's ramach evarim, shesagidim, there's 248 positive mitzvahs, there's 365 negative mitzvahs. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. If you would imagine a human being as a model where every single aspect of the world at large is represented within the human being, and the human being has leverage over the entire world. Every thought, speech, action corresponds to something in the broader creation, and we have the opportunity and the responsibility to understand, to appreciate, and ultimately to leverage the entire world. This gives us the opportunity to elevate the entire world, which changes the dynamic, the relationship, the flow of Shefa between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world. And this really gives us an entirely different view of our own chashivas and the way that we view our avoda. Just read one line from Likuto Halachos. It says, "Kol echad miYisrael yesh lo koach lahaser kol ha'olam b'tshuva." Every yid has the ability, the power, to return the entire world to tshuva ulakasher, to tie together, to create a bond ulahalais kol ha'olamos l'Hashem Yisbarach, to elevate all of the worlds, all of the systems, the independent and the interrelated systems to Hashem. Ki ukol mikol ha'olamos, because every person incorporates all of the worlds. Ki nishmasai min el yainim, a yid's neshama is from the el yainim, v'gufai min atachtainim. Skipping a line, v'ayideh his kashrus nafsho v'gufo, through the relationship between his nefesh and his guf, hu yachal kasher kolay lamais, as we work on elevating material things, guf, through our neshama, having our guf become a merkav for neshama, we're not just doing it on our own behalf, but we are actually affecting the entire world. Now, as relates to this Torah, I want to just make a couple more points, but I think that for me, this gives me an approach to the Torah. When we talk about peace, two countries are at peace. One way of thinking about it is that they're not at war with each other. They could really exist totally in parallel, not necessarily helping each other, not harming each other, and yet we would say that they are in peace. So when we talk about a person facilitating avoda with Hashem, is that what we mean? We want everybody to not be doing anything wrong. The Torah says that we are supposed to draw kol ha'olam la'avodaso la'avdo shchem echad. It seems to be in unison, that somehow everybody is part of one avoda, but on the other hand, people's avoda is so different. And by the way, the same way that I have kol ha'olam l'v'bishvili, you have the same thing. We have different strengths and areas of opportunity. What does it mean that we're looking to draw the entire world to Shechem Echad? So for this, I want to suggest the idea of shalom, the idea of peace, which comes up later in this paragraph. At one end of the spectrum, we said peace is really just not getting in each other's way. But there's two other ways, I think, that we can address the idea of shalom. Another idea of peace is where I have a goal and you have a goal. They might be different and they might be similar. For instance, we both want to generate wealth. I happen to have money and you have no skills. You have skills and don't have money. In this case, we both really have our own self-centered goals. At this particular snapshot in time, our strengths are perfectly suited to be able to contribute so that either one of us can have our own self-serving goal. If either the goal would change or some situation in terms of contributions would change, then we would separate out, we would get divorced from that particular partnership, and nothing would have deteriorated other than the fact that the very same considerations that were in place in the beginning of that decision to become partners has now been removed, and now it no longer makes sense to be partners. In this circumstance, we're partnering and working together, but not because we necessarily have a joint goal, but rather because we are complementing each other in order to achieve our individual goals. There is the third highest level of partnership, at least in this particular model, where we are actually both butl, we are both contributing as parts of a greater machine. So if I want to achieve a goal that's greater than I can accomplish, and you have a similar consideration, then neither one of us almost exist meaningfully, independently outside of that partnership and outside of that system. For instance, we have a Zachar and a Keva, an Ish and an Isha. In a marital home unit, we say that the man and a woman should get married and build a bias neman b'Yisrael. If you have one partner who is a mashpia, for instance, and another partner who is a makabel, a person who is a mashpia, who is a bestower, he only becomes a mashpia once there's a recipient, once there's a kli kibble. A person is not identifying, even he has bekayach, a person is not identifying as being one who can give, who can contribute, unless there is a recipient. Somebody who is going to serve their function as a kli, as a recipient, cannot actually be a kli, cannot be a recipient if there is no bestowal. Once the mashpia and makabel get together and they actually make a zivug, at that point it can produce something that's greater than the sum of its parts, and it was not able to be produced without all of the relevant parts. So I'm going to give just one more example if it helps. Let's say you have a company. The company produces widgets. The company produces cars. Or for that matter, the company is a chesed organization. Within the company, there are different departments. One of the departments is looking for doing outreach. It's doing chesed projects. Another department is trying to align the budget. A third might be doing licensing or trying to look for buildings that they can use, whatever it is. Each particular department does have to fulfill its function, but its function is only meaningful as part of a machine. If there was a fight between the accounting department and the outreach department, then the accounting department said, I'm just going to operate on my own for my own company, it would obviously be totally meaningless. So let's plug this into our Torah. If we understand that the entire purpose of the world and all of our avoda is to bring about a giloy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and let's say there's 600,000 different parts, 600,000 different yidin neshamas, and ultimately the entire world is meant that to create a makom for Ashras HaShechina and to bring a giloy of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then by definition, my avoda can't exist in a vacuum, because the full giloy of the Shechina is only there when all of the parts of the machine are acting as part of this incredible unit. And therefore, each individual can have a particular avoda, but in terms of achieving the goals of our avoda, by definition, it has to be b'shchem echad. We have to each apply our own experiences, our own skills, our own intellect towards investigating, understanding, and ultimately explaining and offering the perspective that no other person in the entire world ever has and can replicate, and also being receptive to other people explaining it to us, because the shalom that we're trying to achieve is actually a perfect balance. Everything in the world is perfectly part of the machine. There are no extra pieces, and everything, if it's fulfilling its function, is perfectly weighted. Therefore, first, we want to establish that the entire world is going to be focused on its mission. What would pull away from that mission if instead of working towards a particular process, individual pieces were actually literally self-centered? They were going towards their own priorities, their little kesef v'zav, whatever it was that they were chasing, and the result would be a lack of shalom the way that we described it. So that the only way to achieve this shalom is one of the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, the only way to ultimately achieve this shalom is where all of the different pieces were serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'shchem echad, and they were serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were mispalel, they had avoid shebelev his batlos levad, only to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that would achieve a system with the perfect balance. Second paragraph. So now that we see that as a result of the shalom between people, where they have a, if you will, symbiotic, complementary relationship, where everything fits together perfectly into a whole that's greater than the sum of its parts, and this shalom leads to the entire world coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the question is, how do we achieve the shalom, right? In terms of the order of operations, shalom is the first thing to address. The second paragraph will explain that we achieve shalom through ha'aras panim, or, I mean, you could say a smile, a facial countenance, but we'll explain exactly what ha'aras panim refers to in Pnimius, as well as hadras panim, and we're going to associate ha'aras panim with Yaakov Avinu. So let's see inside, and then we will discuss some of the ideas. V'i'ef sher lavoi lebechina shalom ela al yidei ha'aras panim. It is impossible to achieve shalom other than through ha'aras panim, v'hadras panim. We're going to add a vav. There's a girsa that adds a vav. Really, the next paragraph will explain hadras panim, which leads to ha'aras panim, which leads to shalom. Where can we see this represented? A pasuk in Bereishis, Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shchem. Yaakov Avinu came b'shalem and with a complete to Ir Shchem, to the city of Shchem. In Pnimius, we're going to say that Yaakov Avinu represents Taira, represents MS. We're going to say that Taira is associated with a bechina of Ha'aras Panim. So if Ha'aras Panim leads to Shalom, that will lead to an Ir, to a Hisiris. Ir means city, but the lashon of Ir is Hisiris. That leads to be Ma'irer Shchem, serving a Kadosh Baruch with Shchem Echad. Inside, what leads to an awakening of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in unison? Hu al yidei shalom. That comes about through shalom, through shleimus. V'shalom hu al yidei bechinas Yaakov. And we reach shalom through, that's associated with Yaakov, shu ha'aras panim, which is associated with ha'aras panim, bechinas shufrei de Yaakov, kein shufrei de Adam. The Gemara tells us in Bava Metzia that Yaakov Avinu had a similar countenance to Adam Arishan. Adam Arishan was the man that was literally created, kiviyachal, as a word, directly by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first person. Yaakov Avinu's face, his countenance, the interface, if you will, was literally at that level. Therefore, Yaakov Avinu represents Haras Panim, Vizebachinas Mivakshe Panecha Yaakov, that Yaakov Avinu is associated with the word Panim, Haras Panim. Now, I mentioned that Haras Panim, as much as it's associated with Yaakov, is associated with Torah, and I'm going to read from Likutei Halachos in order to speak this out. It says Likutei Halachos Ksubas Kaka Gimel Aleph. Ikar Ha'aras Panim Hu Al Yidei HaTaira. The Ikar countenance of the face, if you will, is through Taira. Ki Hakol Echad Ki Adam Hu Taira. What be'etzim is Adam? Adam is Taira. Taira is the tzur. We said earlier, the Ramach Evarim, Shesagidim, the structure of Taira. The Taira is the blueprint of the world. That tzur, that structure, that system of relationships is represented as well in the tzuris Adam. Va'idea Taira, meir panav shuklali is gofa Adam. If you look at a person's face, you could see whether they're alive through the face. You could see the personality. You could see the health. The ha'aras panim is going to represent the klolius of a guf. Ki ha'panim shu'aseichel, the face represents the intellect. You could see a person's consciousness in the face. This seichel is what enlivens it. It ties in to the health and to the system of the entire body. So through this ha'aras panim, what's represented by the face, which is taira, the idea that a person is integrated with truth, with purpose, where things are in sync, that is be'etzem taira. Through aligning in a micro way in the tzura represented by a person, which is parallels and ties in to the Torah, a person can bring in line the various aspects of creation, like we said a few minutes ago, and this can actually affect and bring into sync all the aspects of the Bria, which are also in line and represented within the tzura of Torah. Ki kulam klulim b'tzelem demusa adam shemeir alidei Torah shezeu b'chines ha'aras panim. Now, I want to mention one other idea. When we think about the Bria, we think about really a system. The world, or any system, is really unfolding as part of a process. The higher up or the earlier in the process you go, the more unity there is. The further away you go, the more fragmentation there is. The ultimate unity is when you see the fragmentation and realize that there's unity, it's all part of a system. So let's speak this out. Let's say we start with a process, any particular process. That will start with a Rutzen. You can really start even earlier and say that there's oneg, there's a certain pleasure. If I wouldn't get pleasure for something, then I wouldn't have a rutzen, I wouldn't have a desire, a will for something to happen. After I have that desire, I want that desire to be met. Practically speaking, that means that there's going to be an idea, an analysis of how to apply the idea. You'll put it into practice, and then it will come to completion. If a particular system is actually specifically designed and tailor-made to meet a particular rutzen, then that by definition, by necessity, will mean that shleimus can only be achieved when the all of the mechanisms, everything involved, is driven and designed to work together in order to achieve that rutzen. Now, what we're saying makes a lot of sense when you're looking from the point of view of the Ratzon looking forward, where it unfolds and everything is essentially being designed in order to work their way backwards to achieve that original will, that original design. If you're looking from the end backwards, then it's not always going to be so simple. Unless you have that that broader global insight, it's not always going to be so clear how everything necessarily fits in as part of that system. So to the extent that Ha'aris Panim leads to Shalom, we can now understand why Likutei Halachos says that Ha'aris Panim is an aspect of Torah. If Torah is the blueprint of creation, that is the program, that's the code of creation, the only way to actually achieve Shalom globally, you could have little pockets, I guess, of tasks, but the only way to achieve an actual global state of Shalom where there's Hashras HaShechina and so on, is where things are faithful and have integrity to the original blueprint. So to the extent that the Torah is the blueprint of creation, Torah represents that Ratzon Hashem, that Chachma of Hashem, that unfolds itself into the world, then the idea of the Seichel, the Chachma of Torah itself, that is the Ha'aris Panim that shines through creation, and that creation ultimately represents. As an aside, Agav, this also can give us to an understanding of why the first paragraph says, Shalom sheyesh bnei adam v'hem chaykun masbirim ze lezeh. Why is Shalom involve people investigating and explaining one to the other? Because every single person is going to be limited by their own knowledge, their own experience, their own maturity. If we understand that the Chachma of Hashem, the Torah, the blueprint of creation, unfolds itself into 600,000 different points of view, 600,000 neshamas, then no one of them is able to graduate to a higher point of view that will ultimately encompass and unfold out the 600,000. The only way to do that bottom up, the only way to do that from the point of view of the individual, is to get together and be receptive to be open to hearing somebody else's point of view, like a Venn diagram. I have my circle, you have your circle, and we come together and we see where the overlap is. Where is that commonality? Where is that common denominator that can account for the entire scope of creation? That actually represents the truth, and therefore the process of coming to that truth is Shak Levitari, essentially, right? We have the Torah Shebichsav, we have the Psukim as that unfolds into Torah Shebal Peh, and ultimately the Talmud Bavli, the Gemaras that are comparing, contrasting, looking for commonalities in the Mishnayos and the Braisos, and ultimately the Shak Levitari, that's able to take all of the principles that have been unfolded and find them back within the broader truth. As one also, just Agav, before we move to the next paragraph, you know, sometimes a person can say that our learning is so far away from Sinai. It used to be that people had the Chamishei Chumshei Torah, they had the Nevi'im, they had the Mishnayos, and now we're spending so much time going through the Shak Levitari of the Gemara, and it seems to be less authentic, perhaps, than what came earlier. A lot of these understanding the machleiksim seems to be only because of the distance between us and Sinai. Perhaps we can suggest, this is my own idea, that if the ultimate expression of Giloy, of unity, is really working our way backwards and finding unity in the fragmentation, the more fragmentation, the more perceived machleikis there is, when we're able to have that system of Lima Tyra, when we're able to have that Shak Levitaria and ultimately reach conclusion, to learn Shema Yitzhak Liba de Hilchasa, and we're able to find our way back into the Dalet Amos of Halacha, we're able to find the Pnimiyas HaTorah, to understand back into the Psukim and into the statements of Chazal. So that really actually gives us the opportunity to bring about a Giloy that perhaps was not even available in earlier generations. Okay, something to be mizmainin on. Next paragraph 3. So where are we holding? We mentioned that Shalom is what will ultimately bring us to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in unison, that Shalom is achieved through Ha'aras Panim, which we said is the same Bechina as Torah. And we mentioned, without explaining it, in the second paragraph, Ha'aras Panim v'Hadras Panim. Hadras Panim is a beauty of the face, if you will. So what is that Hadras Panim that will lead or be in connection with Ha'aras Panim? V'Hadras Panim ze Bechina's Drushei Torah. So at least on its face, just first we'll say simply, and then maybe we'll introduce another idea. The Drushei Torah, Shetar and Dresh Bishleisre Midos, for those who say Rabbi Yishmael every morning, the 13 midos Torah nidrashes behen, which are able to take the Torah shebichsav to flesh them out, to apply certain drushes that we have from Sinai in order to arrive, to unfold at the Torah shebal peh, at the Dalet Amos shel Halacha, to understand how it can be applied in our world. Those drushes are going to ladder up to allow us to apply and to relate to the Torah, which again is going to lead to shalom. So the Hadras Panim is the Drushe Torah that leads to the Aras Panim. Hanim Shachan Mishleishesre Tikune Dikna. This draws from the 13 Tikunim of the Dikna of the beard, a Dalet and a Zayin, by the way, in Aramaic and Hebrew. So a Dikna is a Zakein, is a beard. Mibachinas Hadras Panim. I'm leaving that unexplained for a second. So the 13 tikkuni dikna, the 13 tikkunim of the beard, will be associated, lead to the 13 midrash Torah and drashas behen. Kamosha kasev v'hadar t'pnei zaken, because it says v'hadar t'pnei zaken, which literally means showing reverence in the presence of a zaken, of an elder. Zaken, we also say, by the way, zesha kana chachma, person who is a talmud chacham. But zaken also literally means a beard, so it associates hadras panim v'hadar t'pnei with zaken, with the beard. So let's just understand at least a little bit on our level, without going too far outside the scope of the shir, what's going on. So first of all, definitely in line with what we're saying, that the 13 midrash Torah dras behen, which are represented by hadras panim, hadar t'pnei zaken, that leads to aras panim, to the Torah, which we said before, and we understand how that's associated with shalom. What is this idea of the 13 points of the beard? So I'm going to read a piece from the Kutei Halachos, which is beyond us, but at least it'll give us a little bit of a flavor. It says in Hilchos Tefillin Vav Lamed Dalid, Kol Shleishesre Midos Shetorah Nidrashes Behen, the 13 midas through which the Torah is darshened, Heim B'chol Adam U'B'chol Zman, Ki Ikra Taira Hu HaMaisa, these exist with every person at every time. The Ikra Taira in the application in our world, in the Olam HaMaisa, the Dalet Shel Halacha, is going to be with action, with applying it to our world. Kamo Shekasev Lo Yamidrash Hu Ikra Ela Maisa. And therefore we need to put it into practice. We need to live the Torah, which means that we are taking the Shleishesre Midos and using those to understand and to apply the Torah to Halacha, so that we can apply it in the context of our world. We need many Eitzes, applied Chachma, to be able to withstand everything in practice that we need to stand up against. And all of these, this advice that come from the tzaddikim, when tzaddik is essentially somebody who is a living Sefer Torah, somebody who lives is living these principles, kulam klulim b'shleishes remidus shatara nidrashes behen, all of these eitzes are really coming from the Torah. People ask a tzaddik, they ask a gadol, they ask a talmid chacham, not just for Torah advice, but for life advice, because this is applying the chacham of Hashem. These are coming from the 13 midos of Rachim. Shem bechinas tleisar tikune dikna shegilu Reb Shimon bar Yochai zal mamish the week of Lag BaOmer. This is associated with the 13 rectifications tikunim, however you want to say, of the. It's hard to use physical representations, but this is a mashal. We're using mashal adam by 13 tikkunim of the beard. Shem sires kedoshes to dikna shem kulam rachamim v'chesed. And kaif machnim called dinim nechazim b'shar saris. These things that are represented by the beard are going to be kulay rachamim, and they will be able to subjugate any of the din, the harsh din that comes later on. Skipping a few lines over here, Dahainu Ligarish Levar, Kolam Achshavas Ros, and Achazim Besiris, Lachniam Levatlam. Okay, he goes on. Let me just offer a thought of the way that I understand it. First of all, in terms of how we relate to Pnimis HaTaira, to abstract concepts that don't necessarily have something that we relate to in this world, in Keseder, we are using either Mashal Adam or Mashal Isiyais. Mashal Isiyais would be Yud Kei Vav Kei, would be Shemus of Hashem. Fine. Alternatively, we use Mashal Adam. We are talking about the head, the Golgalta, the skull. If you look at the charts that look at the spheres, we are talking about the arms, the legs, where it relates to in the human body. But like we said earlier, we're not using that chas v'shalom say that there's anything physical, as it were, upstairs in terms of ruchnias. But when we look at the relationship, similar to if you would see a map, a flat map, on that map would be accurate representations in terms of certain relationships that exist on the ground, in terms of the elevation, in terms of the terrain. That doesn't mean that the map exactly is actually, you know, have those things on it, but it's a representation of the tzura. So when we talk about Mashal Adam, it's very difficult for us to understand, but it is some sort of a mapping of certain hanhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are happening in the Olam, in the Olamas that are beyond us. Now, if we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzem is, we say anything about Hashem we can't say, but kol kulay tayv, kol kulay rachmim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants only to be merciful to us. At that level of hanhaga, there are 13 midas of rachmim. Where we tap into them, they're kol kulay rachmim, and there's no din over there. Now, part of this world, how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us the ultimate good? To allow us to be similar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're not just going to be recipients, we're not just going to be takers. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to participate, to be builders, to build our own godless, to earn. That is really the ultimate rachman, the ultimate tayv, the ultimate chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do for us. In order for us to achieve that, there has to be bechira. In order for there to be bechira, to be a free choice so that we can earn that, then as it comes to this world, we need to have representations of confusion, of tayv and ra, so that we have a stage of avoda to choose between. But that is how it unfolds in order to work back and achieve the original Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving Tayv to us. At the level of fragmentation, therefore, there is Tayv and Ra, so that we are supposed to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. But if we go back all the way earlier, the higher up you go, the more there is unity, that Ratzon is really coming from a place of rachmim. At that level, there is a hanhaga, there is a shefa, there's something represented by whatever this means, 13 principles that are associated with the beard. Through those 13 ideas, that is what will ultimately generate the 13 midas through which we're able to apply and associate and understand and relate to Torah. And therefore, the Hadras Panim, which is the Drushei Torah, that are going to lead us, give us a connection to Taira and ultimately to Shalom. Why is it called Hadras Panim? Because the Drushei Taira are associated with a Hadras Panim, which literally is a reference to a beard, but that is actually associated with Hanhaga represented by a beard in a Mashal of Adam, which is 13 Hanhagas of Rachmim at a very high level of that generation of Hashpa. Okay, actually, I think we're going to stop over here. We definitely raised a lot of ideas that will be the basis for continuing the Torah, but a little bit shorter than usual. Let's stop over here and continue with paragraph Dalet next time.